discussing Torah this week. A few topics we have to discuss in order to understand. If you look at your source sheet, the first 16 is the background, and 17 is just about 20 examples from Shir Shabbos Kol Chatan that I'll discuss outside, but we'll be able to fly through those because you'll have their sheets there. You'll have the background after we do that first part. Source number one, Gemara Shabbos, has a little bit of a braita that's difficult to understand. The braita says, "Hayu lefano mine ochlin." You have in front of you a few different types of food. Borer ha'ochal, borer u'miniach. You can take some and eat it. You can take some and leave it. V'lo yevor, and don't sort some. V'im birer, and if you did that, chayav chata. Then you violated Shabbos and Isser D'oraita. Okay, so it's not clear. You're allowed to select some and eat it. You're allowed to select some, put it down. Don't do it, but if you did it, you're chayav. My kamar. So the Gemara actually goes through a few tries. I only put the last one on the source sheet. Amar Abaye, Bora Ra'ocha. When it says that you're allowed to select some and eat it, La'alter. You can select and eat some right away. Bora Raminiach, you're allowed to select some and leave it. Again, La'alter. But if it's not for immediate use, lo yivor. Don't sort or select anything. Vimbira, and if you did, nasa kibora la'otzar, it's as though you were sorting it for the sake of your storehouse, not for your next meal. V'chayav chata, and that's an iser d'oraita. Hayu lefan av shnei minei ochlin, the Gemara continues that if you have two different kinds of foods in front of you, not food and waste, but two different kinds of food, etc. And there's a stira that Gemara suggests. Gemara says, "Lo kasha." How can you sort them? Ha bekanu v'tapkoi, ha benafu kfara. Just using your pot or bowl to separate them is allowed, but using a nafan kfara is a sieve, a colander, a sifter, meaning things meant to sort and separate. Those you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's aser. So this braita is still confusing. So let's look at the very clear language of Rabbeinu Chananel in source 2, and then we'll try to find some terms here.
Well, would you only be either a skila if you got born before, or...?
That's in general true about halachos, yeah.
So that's a sacred shogay.
But chayav chata is in shogay.
Yeah.
Okay. Shamir midibrei shloshtam ki borer v'ochel biyad, borer miniach biyad shara. To select and eat it right away, or select and put it down for immediate use, that's allowed. V'lo kol heifa d'bayi shari, not any way you want. Ela brera ochal mitoch psolet, taking the good from the bad. Ava psolet mitoch ochel, taking the bad from the good, lo. Va ochal mitoch psolet, and even taking the good from the bad, shari, that's allowed. Hainu livlor d'lechol, is to select and eat it. O livlor d'niach d'lechol alter. To select it and make your platter for the food you're about to eat. Al shulchan, kamosha pirashna. But to select it and then just leave it for a while, that's not allowed. And even we say it's allowed, anamili be'yad, with your hand. Not even with kelim. And if you did it, you're potter, but it's still forbidden to do. Using a special tool meant to separate, such as a sieve or a colander. Divrei kol aser. And if you did it, it's as though you sorted it in order to put it in your storehouse. So we have some terms we have to define. It is very clear from this Rabbeinu Chananel explaining our Gemara that there are three criteria in terms of what needs to happen in order to allow you to do Borer on Shabbos. And they are, miyad, it has to be for immediate use. Bayad, you have to do it by hand. And number three, ochel mitov psolet. You have to take the good from the bad. Now we are going to discuss what immediate is. Does immediate mean right before I put it into my mouth? Well, we already saw that's not true because he said you could put it on your plate and eat shortly. So how much time are we talking about? Is it an issue of time, of interruption? So we're going to discuss miyad. Bayad, second one, with your hand. You must use your hands. What? You can't use a spoon? My mother's going to yell at me. So what does it mean that it has to be bayad? Okay? But bayad meaning not with a cleat or a certain kind of cleat, maybe a specially designated cleat, because we already saw a distinction between different kinds of kelim, right? One is just a regular pot, and one is the one that's a colander or sieve, which is meant for borer. Yes, you have a question.
If both the things are edible, yeah.
We're going to start that too. Okay. So number three, ochel mitoch psolet, you have to take the good from the bad, and not the bad from the good. Okay, now when I say good from bad, I didn't define it as food from waste, so apparently I just gave something away, because we're going to discuss, does this apply to non-food items? For example, taking your jacket out of a closet full of jackets. Okay? So we have to discuss what is considered good and bad. When, for example, you have two foods and you like them both, you just want one of them. For example, a bowl of peanuts and raisins, and you just want some peanuts now. Is that separating it? Is that a mixture? And we also have to discuss what is a mixture. Because if there's a piece of chicken over here, and a good one over here, and a bad one over there, and so I go over and I throw away the bad one or I take the good one, is that considered mixed? What makes a mixture? The fact that they're viewed together physically, that they're all mixed up, that I don't know which one is which, etc. Yes?
But just pulling out Manji's oil is representing a bigger whole, like picking your favorite fruit bowl out of the...
Yeah, so again, is ochel food or is ochel good as opposed to bad? What is considered good and bad? That is what our makoros are going to discuss. And again, with the background that I give you in the first few makoros, we're going to fly through about 20 examples of Shmiras Shabbos Kilchata in source 17. Yes?
Some of the borer is separating or mixing?
Borer is separating or sorting. Okay, meaning it already exists a mixture, and you're going to take the ones you want.
Sorting is in to take away from something.
Yes. Okay, good question. Source 3. Beit Yosef discusses the question of miyad. What does it mean for immediate use? Beshir la'alter kafu arasha ran b'shem Rabbeinu Chananel dash hainu shir masha meziv ala shulchan lo kasuda l'vad. Immediate use means for your next meal. So it's Shabbos morning. You can sort that which you need for lunch. You can't sort that which you need for Shabbos shoes. If Shabbos afternoon, you can sort that which you need for Shabbos shoes. Got the distinction? That was number one. But filu bayad, even when we said you could do it by hand, shamar the mutter dafila alter. Kamar la oka suda, bo bayom, lomar shabor and renil, katsura suda, fer, chotinga matzma wasser. Again, explaining that example I just gave, Shabbos morning, you can't you can't do borer to prepare for your Shabbos shuvas now. Nearly, says the Beis Yosef, Dami Kamar, Shemu borer achasuda, kol shabor and tzok suda acher, bo to yom atzma avil alter. Gen kishu betoka suda borer, eni yachol levror el tzarech ota suda bilvad, chen em borer kodem suda tzarech lochom betoka suda rishona, vim hishem em arachasher, amu beis zatolo mikil alter chayev. He's saying immediately, after a suda ends, for example, Friday night, you finish your meal, you can start doing borer to prepare for your lunch meal. But even during your meal, or right before your meal, it's the middle of the Friday night meal, or before your Friday night meal, preparing for your lunch meal, that is asur. Mordechai katab the dafka lahatchil lechol achar brei rato shari av lechol achar shah nasi kor lozar. He also cites the sheet of the Mordechai, who says that you have to eat it immediately afterwards and not an hour later. Rabbi Ribiad, I saw in his Sefer, remember I mentioned him last week as well. So he discusses what does it mean that you have to do it right before the meal? Because we paskin that right before the meal you can do the borer and it's considered la'alter for immediate use. So he says, let's say it takes you 3 hours to prepare for lunch. 3 hours in terms of me, I don't know, putting out a tablecloth, then putting out the forks and knives, and spoons, and me putting out all the foods, and me preparing the salads and the salad dressing, and me cutting and me scooping things out. Everything that takes me 3 hours. So he says, you can do borer 3 hours before your meal starts. It doesn't have to be the last thing you do. Meaning, let's say lunch is at 12, and you're working from 9 to 12 to set up for lunch, so you can do Borer at 9 o'clock, and that's considered immediately before lunch at 12. It doesn't have to be the thing you do at 11:45. But let's say you're going to, you need 3 hours to set up, and then after the 3 hours, you want a half an hour nap before lunch, because you just worked 3 hours to set up for lunch. So instead of going from 9 to 12, now you're working from 8:30 to 11:30 and taking a half an hour nap. So that's not allowed. Because now the borer that you're doing is not ba'alter. It's not for immediate use. Because something is happening between your preparation and your eating.
Who said that, sorry?
Rabbi Ribya in the Rambam Tempel Lachos book, 4-volume, great set that we've discussed a few times. Shulchan Aruch Pasuk in the source 4, Halacha Aleph. If you have two types of food in front of you and you choose one type from another type, if you do receive a specially made vessel meant for borer, that is asur midoraita. Using something that's not meant for it, but you're using it to separate, patur aval asur. So we say that you have to use your hand, so that's using a kli. Even if it's not a kli meant for sorting, using a cleaner sort, that is not allowed. But if you separated them with your hand, to eat right away, that's mutter. It says the Ramah, he cites that view that says as long as it's for the next meal. See if bad, the Shulchan Aruch continues. So let the good from the bad be yado. What is he saying? He's saying, even if you have two of the three criteria, if the third one isn't met, it is no good. In other words, even if you're doing it by hand, even if you're doing the good for the bed, but it's not for immediate use, it's problematic. This is what we call an and statement. Okay, when I took computers in college and we had to learn about logic, there was an and statement, meaning A and B and C. Okay? All of them have to be true. If A isn't true, the whole statement isn't true. If B isn't true, then the whole statement isn't true. C isn't true, the whole statement isn't true. This was his example. You can't run for president, let's say, unless you're 35 and have no felonies and you've lived in the country long enough, etc. So if one thing isn't true, you don't qualify. That is what he said. He said, even if you have Bayat, and Ochomitop, so that it's not enough from Yad. Any of them missing doesn't allow you to do Borer. Number 5, Mishnah Berurah comments, not here in Hilchos Borer, but in the Hilchos Tochen of grinding, of chopping things really small. So he says, let's say you're making a salad, have to cut it really small. But Enon, some do it right before the meal, some are Luda Mamash, as I explained regarding Borer. So again, right before the meal. The Ber Halacha discusses, that's in Shabura as well, meaning one of his other writings, it's sort of 6, 1 minute. Linyan chiyuv and nafa kvara en chiluv ben bira otra min chay rotza lechol gamin ashini nishar makmo ala yifu ala hepa kincha daika lechol shem alter. If you're using the special plea that is meant for sorting, a sieve, a colander, right, that thing with the holes that gets all the water out and now you're keeping the rest, so that means that doesn't matter whether you're taking the good from the bad from the good, if you're doing it for immediate use, it doesn't matter, it's awesome. Yes?
If I've got, like, for example, the head of lettuce,
yeah. We're going to discuss lettuce.
Baba.
It's coming. Okay? Source 7. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel, he continues. Let's say you have two types of food mixed. For you can take one from the other, meaning they're both good. You could take one to eat that one and leave over the other one. Ramah. V'shnei minei dagim mikri shnei minei ochlin. And two kinds of fish are considered two different foods. But also livor echad mechavero el biyodim. You can't separate one from the other except by hand. Kedei lachlom niyad, only to take the one you want and eat it. Af al pishe achatich al gedolo, even though they have very large pieces, meaning it's not a stew, but they're separate. Kol echad yikeri b'fnei asam. Anything that is one type of food. Even if you're taking the large pieces and leaving the small pieces, lo mikri breira. If it's one food, it is not considered a mixture. So you have a big pot or a big pan of schnitzel, and you want a certain schnitzel, that's not borer. They're all the same. But I feel like you're shaming it. Well, borer me shnei biyachad, no mitoch hatam alef, if sure I go, then you don't borer min hatam mitoch aveiro. Or even if there's two different foods, and you just want all the big pieces. So again, that is not borer, because you're not saying, I want the salmon, I want to leave over the whitefish. But again, that's only if it's for immediate use. If it's for later in the day, I feel a little bit young, you want your beer, a chakra, a little bit of a bite, you do it in the morning, in the afternoon, chayot. That's an iser, doraita. Commenting on this discussion of the big pieces and the small pieces, the Taz in Sursei says, Gedolim mitoch tanot, Truman Adeshim Katav She'en Iser Reira El Bebet Minin, two different types of food. What's its proof? Well, that let's look back at Source 1, I have all the line. It says, I use the fun of Shnei Minei Ochlin, two kinds of food. You bet me him with another, not the bet me him. It's got to be two different ones, not one. He says, this is tamua to me, it seems strange to me. The fiyan yereler abut not the bet me him, that was a reboy, that was even if it's two different ones, not only if it's two different ones. De be'echa b'shita sheshayach be'er ma'asherotu l'aniyach. El afilu bet me him, de kfar nikar mufrash, kol ha'am ha'beru, even when the two things are different, and you can tell one from the other, Ancient was and they're not really mixed. Afilo hafit lo yivar. Even that you cannot separate. So he says, even when you have two things of the same in, and you want one and you don't want another, I'm sold it over min echad. What in ancient sold it? Raksha wrote to laniach tzamimen. For example, I don't want to eat it all. I want to save some for later. So I'm going to put some aside. Mikre oto ashir psolet. So this is the extreme view of borer. You're going to see that are more lenient views. This is the extreme view of borer that is even that a part that you don't want to eat right now for our intents and purposes. That is considered psolet. That's considered the waste. What do you mean it's waste? It's delicious. I'm going to eat it 3 hours from now. Well, the fact that you're separating what you want and what you don't want, that's considered ochel and psolet. And therefore, his view, you have to just eat what you want, and then you can leave over. You cannot separate. Let me take there's a big piece of chicken here. Let me cut it in half and take a piece and put it in the fridge for later. That's not allowed. Because what am I doing? I'm separating out the bad, i.e. the part I don't want to eat right now, and putting it in the fridge for later. Source 9, disagreeing. Lo mikri breira, says the Magen Avraham. Ellen King, sat en roi le'achol ala yidei achak, da'az pater avalasar. If it's not considered brera to separate two things that you both want, unless one of them is actually somewhat bad. Okay, that's the more lenient view. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Source 10, again commenting on those same words. Lo mikri brera and lo, he passes like the Avraham, and lo shiksat in zobim kokah. Again, only some of them are bad. Mo chatikor achirin, kigon shenektechu mikoach habish leze chatikot dagim, v'rotza dvorotan shmo nektechu. So even if they're all the same kind of fish, and it's one min, so he said if it's one min, there's no brera. He says, no. If some of them got bad, like some of them got burned, or some of them got ruined, some of them spoiled, so then picking the good ones or getting rid of the bad ones, that is considered brera. So what do? You take the piece you want to eat right now. So borer, and this is a point that should be clear by now already with the 10 sources we saw, there is some halachot that you just can't do on Shabbos. Okay? That's most of the halachot. Borer is a unique halacha in that whatever you want done, there may be a way to do it. As in, if you want to sort this mixture and have this piece of food, and not have that piece of food, there's a way to do it. What's the way? For immediate use, by hand, making sure you take the good from the bad. If you want to plow your field, there's no way I can tell you how to plow your field in Shabbos. If you want to, all the examples, if you want to carry on Shabbos and there's no Erev, there's nothing I can do to help you carry on Shabbos when there's no Erev. But Borer, I can tell you how it can be done in a permissible manner. That's something unique about Borer. We're going to see two approaches as to how to avoid how to deal with that. coming up shortly.
Is this a blanket rule that allows like no exceptions?
To borrow? I mean, it could be difficult sometimes, but I think just about every mixture will see a way we can solve it. When you see one of the solutions, you'll understand why I'm saying pretty much across the board, there's a way we can do Borer in a permissible fashion. So therefore, let's not do it in the non-permissible fashion. Yes?
With saying good from bad, you're not saying good from the bad, right?
Yes, I am. For me to use.
Okay, does that mean, that even according to the strictest opinions, like two pieces of fish, one that's disgusting, one that's amazing, I can take the amazing one?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
What was saying otherwise?
No, 100% you can do that. What you can't do is be like, I don't like this disgusting piece of fish that's here. I don't want to have to look at it, so I'm going to take it off and throw it away. That means you're taking the bad.
Could you take the good one and then throw away the bad?
Yes!
Cool.
That's the point. Got it.
What happens with something really hot, like soup?
Good. So it's hard to take the good from the bad. Yeah. Good, we're going to get to that in the Ingress Motion. Coming up, that's verse 15. Remember that.
Okay.
Source 10, continue. You're asking the right questions, because each of these Makoros deals with each of your questions. Okay? Number, the Mishmaru continues. Let's say we're discussing sour apples and good apples. The Prima Gadim is a suffix. Is that considered one min? Because they're all apples. Or because you don't want to eat some of them, they're psolet. So he had a suffix, and he says the Taz is machmer even one, and even though many Achronim disagree with that Taz, we already saw the Magen Avraham who disagree with him. Arbe Achronim Chakulav Eskimu Imar Rama, who was Mekol. So you can probably make all this. But know this. The basar tzli umavush al mikri beminyan. You have meat made two different ways. You don't just say, well, they're all meat. There's no mixture. No, they are considered two different minim. The kosher kein basar shal mine ofun kulakim, also different kinds of chicken. This is therefore you have to be careful in these big meals where they have a lot of different foods on the same platter, that you should take the food you want and not get rid of the food that you don't want. Source 11, the Prima Gadim, that's sort of just quoted by Mishnah Berurah, but there was one line I wanted you to see there. He says, how do you define two different meaning? He says if they have different names or different tastes in terms of Shechianu, then they have the same status here. For example, let's say you ate an apple and you've never seen an apple before in your life, and you eat an apple the first time, so you're going to make a Shechianu. So let's say the first apple you ate was a sour apple. So now when you come and you make somebody brings you a sweet apple, and you're like, wow, I never saw a sweet apple before. So you make another Shechianu. So if you would, for the apples, are they Chalukim, Betamon, and Bishman? Well, they're both called apples, but they do have different tastes, so maybe you would make a Shechianu. Well, then they're considered two meaning for this. But if you're posing that they're really the same meaning, and you wouldn't make another Shechianu, well, then they're considered the same meaning for Rosh Shabbos. He says the two go hand in hand. The quick story was that when I came Shana Aleph, right before I came Shana Aleph, I had somebody gave me, or maybe as soon as I came, like my first week, I had somebody serve me some juice of lychee nuts. I never had a lychee nut in my life, and I had lychee nut juice. And then the next week I had a lychee nut. So I didn't know if I should make a Shechianu on it. So I went up to Rav Lichtenstein's Hatzal, and I asked him, and he said yes. He said yes because the fruit and the juice are different, and even if you have the juice, especially because Chazal considered fruit juice to be fruit sweat. They didn't know of fruit juice. They didn't consider it halakhically having the fruit. The only fruit juices they considered to be significant were grapes, whose juice is known as wine, and olives, whose juice is known as oil. Everything else was fruit sweat. Zeya Ba'alma, the Gemara calls it. So, therefore, I made a Shechianu when I had that new fruit. Says the Mishnah Berurah, source 12. Kafa Acharonim, who had the intro, Chol Davar Kishem Shnei Minim, can go to Kehilim Ubegadim Sharaf Prayer. So now we're getting to our next discussion, which was in source, criteria number 3, good from the bad, or is it food from waste? So the Mishnah Berurah says, it applies to any item. Kalim, Begadim, Shaya Prera. Okay, Sarah, Levor, Zeramin, Sharot, Slikal, Akshav, take the one you want, Vashari, Sharon, and come on, leave the other ones. Falola, Hefech. Vashar, the Tzluyim, Kama, Begadim, Alakot, you have a lot of clothes hanging on the wall. Machabi, Zahar, Begadim, Sharot, Akshav, Lachshav, Vazem, Kulkraf and the Salik with Fila Koshar Begad. In order to get to your code in the code class, you have to remove all sorts of other codes. Lohavi Luchal Gorer, Chen Muhammad Kara, Kamaminim Yachat Zel Zev, Amin Shiroz, Lachom Munak Lamata, Umesali, Ilish Munakh, the Malakanish, Malakil, and Mashmat, Little Lohavi Luchal Gorer. But even though he says there is a mixture of Kalim and there is a mixture of Begadim, he has a loophole. And that he says, Siluk, getting rid of the other ones, moving them out of the way, isn't Borer when it comes to those. So, what is his way? We're going to develop this a little bit more. But in other words, your coat is under this pile of clothes. You're allowed to move this pile of clothes and take your coat. That's what he says. On the other hand, we have the lenient view of the Or Sameach. Who is the Or Sameach? I'm sorry, I didn't put his bio here. Or Sameach was? Or Sameach was Rav Meir Simcha Vint, also wrote the Meshach Chachma, Perush and Chumash. But Or Sameach is a little bit of his shud and a little bit of his, it's written on the Rambam. So it's his condition on the Rambam. Yes, you have a question.
You want to get your cut, right?
Yeah.
And it's asked, so why did you just take your cut? It's taking the good for the bad.
But how do you get your coat under all those items?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So he's saying there's no problem with taking the bad for the good, the ones you don't want.
It's not taking them, it's removing them. We're going to see how he says to do that in a minute. Okay? But the Or Sameach has the lenient view. He says, Da, the borer, gadro, bedabra, balo, yach, it's got to be a mixture. Mishamishu, shabalo, you use it while it's mixed. Bezei, borer, meitok, sol mitok haochal, mishneim winim, habi borer, rabi balof. So the malacha is only when there's a mixture. It's not a mixture when they're separate. The second avataz, the tosa near dafka ba'ochlim, only food, the low kelim, not utensils or vessels or anything. Ve'hegdi re'rash, u'masha pulta kumaso kelim he'viu ha'mechamrim ha'ba'im ha'farad de'gav v'kli yikaborer v'tobazet, lechaborer tzem she'apollo, le'enzeh lo v'kelim, le'godam ish'lach v'lav dafka. Many pens were broken, writing about all these halachos of how to sort through kelim, And Borer isn't even chaff to them. So, why did I include that? Because even though we seem to do, based on the examples you'll see in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchata, we do possibly about Kalim, that there is Borer, know that Shita exists, that there's no Borer or Kalim, and can use that as a Tzad Lahakel always, maybe for an easier way of sorting through Kalim when we get to them. And you'll see some examples coming up.
What happens if you were to take like a spoon of sand? Don't really care what's in it, but then you see that it has like tomatoes in it, and you really don't like tomatoes. You take a thing of soup and you don't really get it, but then you see it has a cabbage or whatever. Can you pour it back or put the salad back?
Yes.
But that's.
But what you're not allowed to do is now take that tomato and get rid of it somewhere else. Meaning you have to eat the food you want. So you don't have to eat every forkful that you lift up in your hand. You let it put it back in the plate. Make sure the forkfuls you want are the lettuce and the cucumbers and everything else. Leave over on your plate all the tomatoes. Now that you have a plate full of tomatoes, you don't want them. You'll let it get rid of them, but there's no mixture there.
Can you put it back into the salad and mix it around again and take out more?
I don't see why not.
Yes? If I've got a plate, which is, let's say, like half rice and half salad, right now I want the salad.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm not allowed to use the spoon to pick up the salad? Because I'm using the utensil that's not my hand.
We're going to discuss this one. 1 minute. We're getting to source 15. It's time.
Come on. So like an extension.
Wow, are you a remotion mind scale? She ruined it. I have to say spoiler alert.
It's a good new map.
Source 14. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Shuvat Zavra Zev, you put your shnei bonim, ha'efa, the Dabra, and Nikar Harvey, la'ayin, aroa, lo shekham, arba, zev, reira. If you could see it easily with your naked eye, that's not considered border. That's called Nitzkil Bama. That's called taking it. That's not called sorting it. So, so too with all these things. For example, clothes and kalim and svarim. That's one point he makes. A second point he makes, a sheni, sharei ver, the shad hachila yachol ito ochol mitoch apsol lechol sheinze derech reira, derech hachila mechad. When you take a bite of your chicken and you leave over the bone, it says that's not borer, that's called eating. When you take a bite of watermelon and you don't want the pit, that's called eating, not called sorting. So he says, things you do while eating are allowed. So we're going to discuss watermelon shortly. Coming up, you have a question?
Yeah, a few months ago we discussed that people used to eat the chicken bones.
Yes.
So,
but do you eat them?
Yeah, that's how I did.
If you do, then they're not solid.
But is it that I always eat them, or sometimes I eat them?
Do you want to eat them right now?
Oh.
Okay. Fine. Source 15, the one you've all been waiting for. The Davar Borer B'Shabbos, Moshe Feinstein was asked, Lefel la'alter ho'ko mito p'solet, ayinim az leik v'ka. Can I use a fork or spoon, im nefsha bor keborer v'kli sha'as? If because you're using a fork or spoon, it becomes easier to sort, that's borer. And it's borer of a kli. V'yesh lesor, can overcome the top point. The Gemara already said, using a kli, even if it's not a kli meant for sorting, it's not the nafal kfara, it's not the sieve. It's just using a kli to sort and separate, that's not allowed. Avalim ein osim labrera klum yoter mibyado. But if the kli isn't doing sorting more than your hand would, ela machmach ein orotz alach liyado, because you don't want to get your hands dirty. O machmach umerachok, you're sorting across the table. Veinu yacholak yesham yado, you can't reach, so you use a fork. O machmach udavar lach, or it's wet, and you can't hold it in your hand, so you need to use a spoon. He doesn't say it right here, but I've seen it's true also, or because it's hot, like hot food. It's considered your hand, an extension of your hand, as Mr. Riesenberg said. So again, taking the good from the bad with your fork is allowed, and it's not considered a kli. It's considered fayash. One thing that I want to make very clear right now, before we get, we'll just do Surah 16, and then we'll run through some of the examples of the Shri Shabbat. There is something called a slated spoon or a slotted spoon. It's a spoon with holes in it. Okay? You can use it to pick up a piece of chicken or meat from a soup, and the soup comes out of it. That's the kli that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen people do that on Shabbos, and it's problematic. That's the iser d'oraita kli, and we say it has to be bayah. As in, if you are using this spoon in order to take the piece of chicken and not all the gravy and all the sauce and letting it all fall out from the spoon, then that is borer using a kli, and you have violated this rule. Now people ask me, I don't have enough serving things, and this is a salad and this is chicken without gravy. Can I use the slotted spoon just as a regular spoon? Yes. The spoon itself is an usser, or it might be what we call a kli shel lachta l'isser, but we discussed last week already that a kli shel lachta l'isser can be used in a permissible fashion. So just using it to stab or serve food that doesn't have anything to separate is not a problem. But using it to separate the solid items from the liquid items, that in is itself the problem. Yes?
You can't use a knife because technically it makes sorting easier than your hand would.
No, a knife cuts your food to make it smaller so you can chew it.
Yeah, but I'm saying like it's allowed to do it with your hands. If, for example, I was cutting meat off a bone or something like that, it's
in order to eat it.
Huh?
In order to eat it.
In order to eat it, but
that's
the
fine.
Knife. But the knife is still.
Because you don't want to have to rip it like that. So the knife is sharper than your fingernails, you're saying.
Yeah.
That part's okay.
What happened if you're at someone's house who has an isodorite
clean? Oh! You're at someone's house who did it. Yeah. Somebody is using that slotted spoon, and they serve you the food that way. Ah. Well, one thing I just told you about borer is that it's... Well, no. That it's possible to do borer, basically, in most cases, in a permissible fashion. This person opted to do it in a non-permissible fashion. So, you didn't need this malacha to happen. So therefore, you can get the benefit from his malacha. I had an example in the army. I was once doing shmirah on a certain base, and we would walk to our emdot shmirah. And at mealtime, they would come around in a car and bring us a little tinfoil of food. So on Shabbos, it came in the chiloni driver and commander brought us our food as well on Shabbos. I knew you could walk there. How did I know you could walk there? Because I did it multiple times a day. He could have walked there. He's tired and lazy and he doesn't care about Shabbos, so why shouldn't he drive it to me? So, he drove me the food there. Can I get benefit from it? So So somebody once pointed out to me, yes, but now your food is hot. But okay, without getting into that issue, but I benefited from him driving me the food. Or did I? No, because I didn't need his malacha. I called up Rav Tabori, Shavu Rafu Shalim. I called him up at the time, and he told me, based on a certain rough, that if you don't need the malacha in order to have what happened done, you're allowed to get benefit from the malacha. Where does this all come up? It comes up a lot of times when you have Shabbos guests who aren't from, and there's a famous example people tell me in the Israeli TV show of Srugim, that somebody came in a cab who wasn't from, and they came in the cab and they brought a bottle of wine for the Shabbos meal. And they go, oh no, our wine traveled in a cab. Is that a problem? Did you need your wine to travel in a cab in order to get this wine? No, they could have walked it. So therefore, you're allowed to use that wine. The wine isn't a problem. Okay, it would be a problem if it was outside the Erev, outside the Tchum, and came in. But in other words, if the person just lives a few blocks away and they took the cab for their convenience, it wasn't necessary for you to get that wine via their malacha. You're allowed to get benefit from the malacha. For example, if they walk through the electric doors, and there's a side entrance without electric doors. Oh no, my wine went through the electric doors. No. Your wine is wine already. Yes.
What happens if they went through that Tchum and they could have avoided it?
So again, then you didn't need it.
Like for example, my grandparents, if that doesn't fire enough and it boards up, we like do walk to them once in a while. Like we can, it's possible to walk to the house.
Yes.
So in theory, it would be okay.
In theory, it would be okay if it's possible to. In other words, you shouldn't have them do things that they would need to drive for. Like if they show up with cartons of food that obviously they're going to drive over, it's a problem because you're not going to walk that over. But the fact that they brought something in a car and they didn't need to means that we can ignore the fact that it came in a car. Okay? So too, the borer, you could have gotten your piece of chicken from the soup in a permitted fashion. This lovely Balas Abayas is so much wanted to help you and feed these young starving yeshiva buffers and wanted to give you a piece of chicken. So she took her serrated spoon, the spoon with a hole in it, and she got the slotted spoon and she took a piece of chicken out of the soup for you and served it to you, and she did it with this non-permissible fashion. So you are allowed to eat that piece of chicken anyway, to answer your question.
But if you do it.
No, you shouldn't do it.
What happens if you unrealize it afterwards?
Again, it's fine.
What happens if you did boil it for the meal coming up, so you go back for the next meal, but then you do like so much and there's lots of extra?
So you have to try and be honest, but if there's extra, it's fine. Okay? So if you let a, let's say I have guests coming and I want to do boil, I want to peel 17 oranges for everybody to have right now. Peeling an orange would be boil. I'm removing the peel and then just putting out pieces of the orange. Now, why am I allowed to do that? Because derech achila b'kach. So I'm allowed to remove the peel and eat the orange. But if I'm going to remove 17 peels, well, I'm not going to eat 17 oranges. But I have guests, and they're coming. And they eat 15 oranges. Now there's two left. Did I violate an issur d'oraita because they didn't eat two of the oranges? Obviously not.
It sounds like this.
And you can eat them later. It's fine. Yes?
There are certain scissors that people use to cut up chicken and things like that. Is that considered an exception again?
Yes. Okay, source 16, one example of how to deal with a mixture. Mishnah Berurah says, for example, if you have a fly in your drink, shenofel zvuv adavar achal machal mashke, lo yasir azvuv, bein biyad bein apli, tahavi borer tzol vachal. You can't take out the fly from your drink. Fly, bad. Drink, good. Removing the fly from your drink, taking bad from the good. So what do you got to do? Well, he has a solution. Take some of the food of the good with it. In other words, a spoonful of wine and fly and spill that out. So then you're not separating good from the bad. You're just taking some and throwing some away. That is the Mishnah Berurah solution. The Chazon Ish famously disagreed with that, as we'll see in the second example of the Shmiras Shabbos Hilchata shortly. Now I'm going to run through his examples and hopefully we'll get you to your next shir on time. Number source 17, so it comes from Shir Shabbos Parag Gimel, and Halakha Yud Aleph, he discusses meat with bones or fish with bones. So the best solution is to put the meat or food in your mouth and pull out the bones, because then eating is allowed, and and you don't have to swallow bones, you'll have to take them out and throw them away. If that doesn't work for you, so right before you put them in the mouth, you're allowed to take the meat off the bone, or the meat off the fish bone, the fish off the fish bone, while holding on to them, separating them, taking the meat and eating it, as in leaving the bone on your plate. If you don't want to do that, or for example, the food has tiny little bones, so some allow you to actually remove the bones right beforehand with a little bit of fish stuck to it. Whose shita was that? We just saw it a second ago. Mishnah Berurah. And he says, in Samar HaMachmir, and I mentioned that was the Chazon Ish. He says, but even those who do it, they have on who to be someh, as long as they do it right before they eat it. So in other words, you're afraid you don't want to choke on a bone in your fish, so you look through your fish, remove a bone, eat the fish, you have on whom to rely, though much more preferably would be to put the piece of fish in your mouth, carefully chew it, and remove whatever bones you find. And I've liked this line very much in Ted Bog. He says, with all that in mind, now you understand how holy Am Yisrael is that we eat gefilte fish. Because what doesn't gefilte fish have?
Bones.
Tenzayin, watermelon. Best way, again, you stick the watermelon in your mouth, spit out the pits. Some people don't like that, so don't spit out the pits, take out the pits. But again, if it's really a problem, shake the watermelon before and get any pits that are on the outside off. Or again, you could probably remove the ones right before as you're about to eat them. Like you're about to take a bite, pull out that piece of the seed that you don't want. Again, there's preferable and best and most shitas, and then you're relying on das yachitz. Yeah. Correct. You can't remove the seeds of the watermelon on your plate. Therein lies our problem. But what you're allowed to do is cut a piece of watermelon that doesn't have any seeds and put that piece in your mouth. In other words, carefully with your knife and fork, get a nice chunk that doesn't have any, just that part. Okay, chav bet. You're having grapes on the vine, and there's good grapes and bad grapes, of course, because farmers don't make perfect grapes. So take the grape you want. Don't take the bad one and get rid of it. Take the grape you want and eat it. And just leave over the bad ones. That's how to do it on Shabbos. If you have an apple that a little bit is ruined, so you're allowed to eat the good part and leave over the bad part. If you want to remove the good part, the bad part, how do you do it? Well, we just saw the Mishnah Berurah said, take some of the good part with it. I think we're less concerned with the little bit of Baal Tashlis involved, because it's going to allow you to eat the rest of the good part. Chavtet, how to peel fruits and vegetables. So here we have to discuss two different categories of fruits and vegetables. Some where the peel is edible and eaten, and some where it is not. For example, if you have edible fruit peels, in other words, that means that most people eat them. For example, a tomato, an apple, a peach, a pear. So, or it's not only about fruits, but also about foods. For example, chicken skin, fish skin, etc. Since most people eat them with their skin, you can remove them on Shabbos, because that is considered good from good. How do you do it? He says, in fact, you can even use a special kli meant for peeling. A peeler. As in, you want to peel an apple on Shabbos, apple peels are edible. They're part of the apple. That's considered one min. You can even use a peeler to peel said apple on Shabbos. But that's only to do it right before you eat it. The klofan yafum kula akarzman, it is not a problem. But the suda acher boto yom, it's mutter. It says, some are machmer, that if it's edible and most people eat it, even that has to be right before the meal. So I believe that is how we paskin. So yes, if you want to serve your guests peeled apples, you can peel them right before the meal, even with a peeler, because the peels are edible. On the other hand, something where the peel isn't edible, and by not edible, I don't mean that you would die. Most people don't eat it with the peel. That would be an orange, that would be eggs, onions, potatoes, banana, right? We don't eat banana peels. So let's say I want to peel a lot of bananas for some kind of fruit platter for the meal. So I can, again, remove them right beforehand, but I have to do it by hand. Or again, the knife, but only a knife that's an extension of my hand, because it makes it easier. What I can't use is a peeler. and I have to do it right before the meal. So we saw those examples. Next, melon. The seeds in the melon. You cut open a cantaloupe or honeydew, you know what I'm talking about? So you cut them open, there's that whole pile of seeds right in the middle. You're allowed to turn it over and pour them out. And right before you're eating, you're even allowed to scrape them out. That's considered derech afila. Lettuce. You asked about lettuce? That was you? Okay. So, the best way, and it's very clear, and Shmir Shabbos says so explicitly, Rabbi Ribiot says explicitly, best way is to wash your lettuce before Shabbos. But, you can't wash your lettuce before, or you forgot, or you ran out, and you have more lettuce, you need to wash it. So, first of all, what's the first problem? Sometimes there's bad leaves. You want to remove the bad leaves, so, in order to get to the good leaves. So he says you can remove those bad leaves in order to get to the good leaves, just like you can remove the peel of the orange to get to the inside of the orange. But he says do it, rock some of Lusudato, again, right before your meal. But ones that were already separated, and some of them are bad, like they turn black or moldy, and they're not edible, you can't pick out the bad ones. Rather, right before your meal, take the good ones. And how do you check them for bugs? And you put them under the water? So he says, while you're putting them under the water and you want to get rid of the boggy lettuce, you have to take a piece of the good lettuce with it. Again, relying on that Mishnah Berurah, just like we take a bit of the wine to throw out the bug from the wine. Yes?
So this is a similar way to these, but with an onion, yeah? With the outer layer you definitely don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you take the bad layer with the good layer inside?
No, you just measure one of the bad layers, like an orange. Okay. Just peel it. But again, you can't use a peeler. Use your hand or a knife. Okay. Yes?
And he said you can't remove the bad leaves from the lettuce.
On the outside. Get the good ones on the inside, where it's like a peel.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, so you can do that?
You can do that.
But then you said a second.
It says then, if you have separated leaves, and some are good and some are bad, you can't just remove bad ones. Meaning, the bad ones aren't surrounding your good ones to get to the good ones. They're just... they're all mixed in a platter and a plate. You can't just remove bad ones. You have to take the good ones you want. Okay? Nuts. People ask me about cracking nuts. Again, most of the nuts, the shells aren't edible. You can open a peanut, you can open a walnut, you can open an almond, etc. You can even use a hammer to do so. Candies wrapped in a wrapper. You can open the wrapper to get to the candy. Because you don't eat the wrapper, that's considered waste, but it's also considered like the peel of the orange. So you can unwrap it and get it. You can, let's say, and here's where we're going to get a little bit more complicated, and then we're going to discuss non-foods such as silverware and books, and then that will be done. Let's say you have two fruits sitting next to each other. For example, you have grapes on top of a pile of plums, and you want some plums. So you can pick up the grapes and move them in order to get to the plums. But let's say you have good plums and bad plums. So I can't remove the bad plums and leave only good plums here. I can take a good plum and eat it and leave over a bad plum. The other solution, if you really don't want your bad plums around, and this is something we're going to discuss again when we get to the sfarim and silverware and clothing, is you're allowed to spill out the whole bowl of fruit. Spread it across your dining room table, and now there's 10 fruits across your table, there's no mixture. Now which ones do I want in my bowl? Only the good ones. So I'm going to take this one, put it in my bowl, this one, put it in my bowl, this one, put it in my bowl. Now my table, I just have 7 bad plums left, I'm going to throw all these away. So what I did was I made it, not a mixture, by spreading it all out. Yes, that's the second solution. The first was we start taking good with it. The second was... making it not a mixture anymore. Yes?
That may be something here, but why can you remove the grapes if that's taking the bad from the good thing you don't want from the thing you want?
Well, they're not the bad. They're just in the way. That's see, look, as opposed to borer, and they're also considered good because you're just getting to a plum, just blocking.
So you can remove something which is completely not edible, and you can remove something which is still very good.
Yes.
So there's things in the middle which are a bit of a...
Correct. Yes?
So I'm not going to make it good on Shabbos. When we're picking up, I don't know if you feel the same thing, I was in charge of knives and forks and spoons. So it's like, oh, I've seen my mate do this. You chuck the walnuts to the plate, and then you take them to the thing.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah, but why would it be a problem if I'm picking out the forks? I want to put it all in the fork pile, so I pick out all the forks. And then I put
wait till I get to Ayin Chet. Okay, it's coming up. Yes.
What happens if you have those new guys with the ras interrupting? Yeah. If you don't want the, you said it.
Yeah.
But you can remove the thing right before.
If you don't want the ras, the people eat the ras paper. But if you don't want the ras paper, you can
remove it right before you eat it. Just like you remove the orange, just like you remove the orange peel right before you eat the orange.
Okay. I see all of the wrong.
I was told it's pronounced Nuga.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you informing us? Bringing them as shots. Yes. Okay. When you use water in your sink, there's like a. The sink is in a hole and has a little grate. So isn't that filtering your water? That's allowed. Even though that's keeping the bad from you and you're getting the good, that's called just getting water. That's called derech achila, just called using water. That was nadvav. Min zayin, you have tea essence. So you have this thing that has tea leaves in it, and you pour out some water of it, and you get a little bit of very rich tea, and you add a lot more hot water to it, and that's how you have tea on Shabbos, according to the way a lot of people make tea on Shabbos. So how do you do that when this item is keeping it? So, he says, some are matir because, he says some are oser because it is doing it, and some are matir again because you immediately want to use it, and that's how you get to the water. Tea in a bag, where we have tea bags, so again, hushi asakim kli shishi, we've discussed about kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shishi, says, but, what happens when you want to remove the tea bag from your tea? What is a tea bag? Tea bag is this little porous paper bag that keeps in your tea leaves, but allows water to flow through it. When I lift the tea bag out of my tea, what happens to all the water that's in it? The water comes out. What happens to all the tea leaves that are in it? They stay in. So what am I essentially doing when I remove a tea bag from my tea? I'm removing the bad tea leaves so I can drink the rest of my tea. Am I doing it by hand or with a kli?
Kli.
Kli. What's the kli?
The
tea bag. So, what's the solution again? Just like a fly in your soup, in your drink. You have to remove a little bit of the good with it. So you take a spoon and remove the tea bag and add a little bit of water there too. And that's how you get rid of it as well. That's what the Shemir Shabbos says there in Nun Chet. Sama, if this comes up, people put rice in their salt shakers because rice absorbs the moisture. Now the salt shaker, you're going to be pouring out salt and it's going to be keeping the rice in. That's a problem. I was told by a Rebbe of mine that you can be making when the rice is on the bottom of the salt shaker, like it's a full salt shaker. So put the rice on the bottom. But otherwise, it's indeed a problem. Yeah, so the question? Or? No. Okay. Here we go. Silverware. Who asked about silverware? You. Okay. You have a mixture of silverware. You cannot sort them by different types. And you also cannot just take all the forks or all the spoons or all the knives in order to put them back into their different slots. So, what can you do? I have a big pile of silverware. I'm allowed to take an item, whatever it is, fork, spoon, or knife. And I pull out a fork and I dry it, and now I have a fork in my hand. Where can I put it? Anywhere I want. The fork spot on the table to set the table for the next meal, you know, fork, plate, knife, spoon. So in other words, I have a big pile of silverware and I just wash them all, and there's mixtures of fork, spoons, and knife. I could take any one of them and do what I want with that one. And that is our last solution to a lot of the bore issues that we're about to come up with, also about books. Okay, so you have your big pile of fork, spoons, and knife, so I'm allowed to go. I can't go looking for forks. But what I can do is I can reach into the pile and grab any one item. And be like, what's this? Oh, a fork? Well, that goes with a fork spoon.
Why?
What's this? I have a knife now. And that goes with the knives go. Etc.
I think you want
a fork. I just have the ones that you want. So you want forks. Then the rest of the solid.
Why do you want forks?
Because you want to stand in front of the fork.
You're just trying to sort them into forks, spoons, and knives.
But you like,
if you all the forks.
You don't want all the forks. You could want a fork, and there could be a pile there, and you could just take a fork. That could be different. Yes?
That bitzel's not just like 10 Look at that. Stop little zman to keep up with Shabbos.
Another option, we just suggested it regarding the plums. Well, you're adding it to the quote list?
Yeah.
It's fine, go for it, I like it. I didn't plan it to be a quote, but go for it. Ayatet. Mutu lekachar eslumim aruvam la'anicham agabi yashulcham afi. Okay, once you have one, again, you can put it down to set the table. And you can end up with everything where it belongs, each one in its own section, in the fork, spoon, knife section, in the drawer, or the table set. Even if you're not doing it right before the meal, in other words, Friday night, after the meal, you wash the dishes, and now you have forks, spoons, and knives, you're allowed to one at a time set the table, and it's not a problem. But don't, you're even allowed to take a whole stack of forks and do it, but don't grab all of them and be like, okay, here's a fork, here's a spoon, here's a knife, and then you have them all. That's a problem. Svarim. I saw Rabbi Ribyat, and I'll use that as background, and we'll end with this one here. Rabbi Ribyat was machalik between mixtures of svarim that look the same and don't. He said, for example, let's say you have a shul full of svarim, and you want a shelf of Ashkenaz sitters and Sfarad sitters. And they all look the same. The only difference is that on the, I mean, inside, obviously, they're different because they have different nusach, but from the outside, they look the same, so that one of them says Samach, and one of them says Aleph. One of them says Svar, and one of them says Ashkenaz. So he says, you're going to have to pick up each one and look at them, which one it is. He says, it's a problem for you to now start sorting a whole pile of 20 books into 10 and 10. What's not a problem, very similar to what we just said of silverware, is you take a book, and you're like, what's this? Ashkenaz. Put on the Ashkenaz shelf. Take another book. What's this? Svar. Put on the Svar shelf. And therein, you can end up sorting all of them. But Rabbi Ribyat says, let's have a big stack, because I just learned the Gevaldik Dion Seder, and I have my Gemara, and I have my Rambam, and I have a Mishnah Berurah, and I have a Shulchan Aruch, and I have a Rashba, and a Ramban, and they all look different, and they're different colors, and they're different shapes and sizes. Not really shapes, because they're rectangles, but they're all different sizes. So then, he says that's not considered sorting. You're allowed to put them back where it was. Let's read it inside the Shemir Shabbos, and I'll take your last questions, and you'll be dismissed. Svarim Menucham Memurav, you have books mixed here. Also, the Menainam, Alinat, the Sadr, Menkoma, and Baharon, the Svarim, you can't sort them in order to put them back. Avar Lutzonel, Aser, and Svarim, Alashulcha, what? I need my table now. It's time for lunch. Get all these Svarim off my table. Noachol, Lekacha, Kolser, Nifra, take one at a time. Look at and I'll the other Kolser, Aser, and you put it back. Hamunat, Avashulcha, and the each book, where does this go? Oh, this goes on the water shelf. This book, this goes on that other shelf. So the Shmir Shabbos is actually machmer about the different kinds of svarim. I saw again, Rabbi Ribyat was machmer where all the svarim was makel where all the svarim look different. Yes, questions, and that's it. Go.
You can pick up like a whole lot of svarim and then put them on the shelf and then pull out the ones you want. Because is that separating the good
ones? No, that's fine.
If you take, like, if you're collecting sitter at the end of the day, you take them all into like one hand, then can you say, oh, this is from that, this is from that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not a thing how many you're holding, it's a thing doing sort of that. Yeah.
Don't when you're sorting chess pieces, since they look different, you'll be able to like take the one you want and put it where you want. Because they're different colours.
As in all the white ones go in one spot and all the black ones go in one spot?
Yeah, I'm actually gonna ask that way as well.
And so you have a big pile of white and black pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do it more like the silverware. I would take a black one, put in the black, take a
piece. Like, it's going to be like you're not looking at your arm.
Yeah, but I wouldn't like just be like, here's all the blacks, here's all the whites. Okay. That would be a problem. But taking it one piece at a time, putting it where it belongs, that's not a problem.
Also, with the jars that I see a lot of Israeli people have, that like you pour an unfiltered water into a container and then it comes out to the main section filtered, can you not do that with jars?
Can you drink the water without it?
Huh?
Can you drink the water without doing that?
It depends where.
Ah, good. So in New York City, when I left there in 2008, so at the time, in many communities, they weren't drinking the water without filtering it. So you aren't allowed to filter the water. People either buy a bottle of water or fill up water before Shabbos and lots of jugs and bottles all around their house. Okay, so you're not allowed to filter water that you can't drink. That's not allowed. The filter is keeping in, and now that's separating bad from good. Using a kli, that's two whammies. Okay?
Derech achila.
No, derech achila is when you're drinking. happened and you couldn't, like it was, like let's say it was something under the sink or on the whole house. The whole house's water was filtered. So then when you just open your faucet, you're just getting water. So he was made that way, but most people had just a thing on their faucet, and when they wanted filtered water, because you didn't need filtered water to wash your dishes. When you're on filtered water, you like flick the switch, so that would be a problem. But most people, like for example, me right here, I just like the taste of filtered water better. I very often drink non-filtered water, but I like to use the Brita filter. So the Brita filter, whatever it is, that's not filtering anything that you couldn't do anyway. And also, halakhically, what you can't see might not also exist. There's another tzad l'hakel. But if you can drink the water without it, then it's not a problem in terms of borer. So you let him filter water that you could otherwise drink. So, thank you. Shkaf.